Senator, we have a question from Charles in Pueblo. His question is, why is Congress and Washington itself not believing in climate change? They don't believe in global warming and don't want to take any actions on the things that we could do to stop it.
I would respond, Ann, by saying there are actually a lot of people here in Washington who understand that climate change is real, who understand that we need to act, and who most importantly understand there's real opportunity in acting. The Chinese have a symbol for crisis, and if you look closely at that symbol, it's two sub-symbols. One symbol represents danger, the other symbol represents opportunity. I see enormous opportunity in responding aggressively, quickly, and appropriately to the threat that climate change represents, and I mentioned a couple of those opportunities. Job creation will be a real benefit for us. And secondly, as a member of the Armed Services Committee, I see the national security upsides for we to develop more clean energy that lets us produce American born energy, if you will, put our people to work, and lessen our dependence on foreign oil supplies, to name one area in which we're very vulnerable. But this is why I need your help. I need your involvement. The other opportunity, by the way, is at the state, or opportunities are at the state and the regional and the county level. You can encourage your local elected officials to take some steps and put policies in place that will lessen CO2 emissions. And you see that happening at the state level. Certainly there are municipalities that are adopting clean energy goals. And that's where a lot of the exciting action is happening. Some days I feel like Washington is the last place to get it. That emboldens and impassions me to do more here so that Washington follows the lead of the people out in the country, particularly in a state like Colorado.
Thank you very much, Senator. Press 1 if you'd like to thank Senator Udall for standing up for Colorado's clean air and water and wildlife with his budget vote, and to let him know that you appreciate his leadership. And if you have a question for NWF wildlife biologist Doug Inkley or Colorado Senator Mark Udall, please press *3 on your phone, and we'll be with you shortly. Senator, we have a question from Jenny in Evergreen about forest health and forest wildfires. Evergreen had its first fire yesterday, and they want to know what you think can be done about the state of forest health in Colorado.
And that's the question. I can go ahead and respond, I take it. Yes, as you know, the wildfire season is now extended by some 60 days on both sides of what was primarily a summer wildfire season. This should concern all of us. It's a stark indication of the climate changing. There are some important things we can do, particularly in the way of preventing wildfires. We can reduce fuel loads around our homes. We can work with the state forester, the U.S. forester, and private landowners so that when we do fuel reduction work, we can take advantage of some of the new technologies that allow us to use that biomass to produce electricity, in some cases produce synthetic fuels, and in the process return our forest to healthier condition. We have to use those technologies appropriately, and they have to be carbon neutral, which in many cases they can be. But I urge all of you who live in the so-called red zone, the interface between urban and wildland areas, to do some simple things like knock down weeds, rake pine needles, move log piles away from homes, ensure that your shingles are not cedar or wood. There are a lot of common sense steps that people can take. But above all, on a more macrocosmic level, we need more incentives for clean energy production. We need a price on carbon. We need policymakers here in Washington to act.
Thank you very much, Senator. As a reminder for those of you just joining our conference, I'm Ann Morgan with the National Wildlife Federation in Colorado, and we're here with Senator Mark Udall and wildlife biologist Doug Inkley. If you have a question for either of them, you can press *3 on your phone, and an operator will take your question. Also, at any time, you can press 1 if you would like to thank Senator Udall for standing up for Colorado's clean air, water, and wildlife with his budget vote, and to let him know you appreciate his leadership. We have another question, Senator, this is for you, from Judy in Lakewood, Colorado. And the question is whether Congress would consider using the pay for it now or pay for it later approach for carbon and carbon reduction. She says we should have a carbon tax and act like stewards rather than seeing worsening impacts.
And I'll go ahead and answer again. She's right. There's no question that we haven't priced in the so-called externalities of our energy policies. In other words, the externalities are effects on our climate, most broadly on water quality, on air quality, on our wildlife. And if you have a focused and appropriate and balanced policy, you would cost in what carbon emissions and their effect is. That's why a price on carbon makes sense, and it's something that in the long run we're going to have to put in place. We've done similar things with other so-called criteria pollutants like sulfur dioxides and nitrous oxides, mercury, and they've been very, very successful. And the costs that the opponents have always suggested we would incur have been much less than those initial predictions and projections. And in fact, we've created jobs. We've reduced the effects of, say, acid rain, for example, in the Northeast. There are many, many examples of successful private-public partnerships. By putting a price on pollution, you drive job creation, you enhance your natural environment, of which we're totally dependent. And in the case of our dependence on foreign oil specifically, we would, by developing these cleaner energy systems, really have a significant effect on world stability and security. So again, for all those reasons, I'm very passionate about acting as soon as we possibly can.
Thank you, Senator. And we have a follow-up question, but before we get to that, I'd like to remind folks that if you would like to ask a question of Senator Mark Udall or biologist Doug Inglee, you can press *3 and an operator will take your question. And at any time, if you would like to express your support for Senator Udall, for his leadership, you can press 1. The follow-up question is from Jean in Fort Collins, and that is whether you support Senator, whether you support Obama using his executive order to limit industrial carbon pollution.
And I would prefer the Congress to act. Let me give you a brief history. The Supreme Court ruled that the Clean Air Act requires us to regulate carbon and reduce carbon. The Supreme Court ruled that under the Clean Air Act, carbon is a pollutant. The Congress was on full notice over the last 4 years that we needed to act. We got close to acting in 2009 and 10. The House passed a bill, a very extensive bill that dealt with transmission and research and development and green energy and carbon capture and sequestration, potential of nuclear power plants. It was an all of the above legislative vehicle. The Senate did the same thing, but we fell short in attaching a provision that in some form or fashion would have put a price on carbon. One of the most intriguing ideas out there is Senator Cantwell's cap and dividend, where you would cap carbon emissions and the resources that are generated would then be distributed back to the American public in the form of dividends. We have to be careful that any price on carbon doesn't hurt the working people and middle-class Americans. There are many mechanisms to do that. In the context of that shortfall, the president is required through the EPA's authorities, regulate carbon, and the EPA is underway with those steps. This is important. This is the future of our economy, and it has a national security effects, and of course, we have an obligation to our children to pass the planet on to them in as good a shape as it was handed off to us. So in sum, I would prefer the Congress to act, but there's, you know, people here who don't want to act at all. They're not meeting their responsibilities, so the administration should and is proceeding under the law with developing regulations to limit carbon emissions.
Great. Thank you, Senator. Definitely a complex issue. I'd like to remind folks that are on the call that you can press *3 on your phone, and an operator will take your question for Senator Udall or for National Wildlife Federation's Senior Scientist Doug Inkley. Or you can press 1 if you'd like to thank Senator Udall for standing up for Colorado's clean air, water, and wildlife with his budget vote and to let him know that you appreciate his leadership. And the next question we have is for Doug Inkley, and that's from Leanne in Pueblo, Colorado. She heard that the state meteorologist stated that the 2012 conditions that are likely to become the norm. What are you doing? What are we going to do about the persistent drought that is going to ensue if the conditions that were similar to last year are the new norm?
Well, first of all, thank you, Anne. And I would state that I agree with Leanne, and I agree with the state meteorologist that what we experienced in Colorado and in many other states, most of the states in the United States last year, that likely is to be the new norm. That's unfortunate. The most important thing that we need to do is to be sure that we address the root cause of the problem rather than just try to band-aid it with after-the-fact fixes. So, of course, addressing the root cause of the problem is addressing our carbon emissions. And so we need the Environment Protection Agency to take full action to use the Clean Air Act to make sure that they do reduce our carbon emissions that are occurring in many different venues, whether it's through power plants or through cars or through other things. The concern that I have is with the persistence of things like drought, but understand that another factor is not just the drought, but increased variability in the weather that we're having. Greater extremes, like the extreme precipitation and flooding we're now having, the extreme storms that we're now having, the extreme hurricane along the coast, Tropical Storm Sandy, which I sometimes call Superstorm Sandy. All of these are an example of how we're having greater extremes. So Colorado has to be prepared for that as well. So yes, this is a persistent problem. I appreciate that you're on the line, Leanne, and hopefully everyone here will be interested in working with Senator Udall to continue to address this problem. That's what we're doing at National Wildlife Federation.
Thank you, Doug. As a reminder for those that have just joined us, I'm Ann Morgan with the National Wildlife Federation in Colorado, and we're here with Senator Mark Udall and wildlife biologist Doug Inkley. If you have a question for either of them, you can press *3 on your phone, and an operator will take your question. And also at any time, you can press 1 if you'd like to thank Senator Udall for standing up for Colorado's clean air, water, and wildlife with his budget vote and to let him know you appreciate his leadership. The next call is for Senator Udall. Senator Barbara on the West Slope has this question. In general, in the last 20 years, the opinions of scientists are challenged by deniers, starting with tobacco and now with climate warming. How do we reverse this situation where scientists are not listened to or believed, or to depoliticize scientific opinion?
And you're exactly right. There's a strong analogy between what the tobacco industry did and now those who represent some of the old energy technologies are doing. That is to deny that there's any connection between smoking and lung cancer, to deny that there's any connection between the carbon dioxide emissions and changes we're already seeing in our climate systems. The forward is for policymakers here in Washington to listen to the scientists. After all, we listen to the scientists on every other topic in front of us, whether it's new health treatment revolutions or technology revolutions in the communication field, or in the way in which we travel and transport ourselves through jet airplanes that were true science fiction just 100 years ago. Those same scientists and engineers and researchers are telling us that the greenhouse gas effect is present, that it's already underway, and that the passage, as many of you know, of 400 parts per million just a couple of weeks ago is a real warning sign. As I labor here in every way possible to educate members of Congress and create coalitions, don't forget at home you can work with your local governments, with local groups. Even your actions as consumers can make a big difference. The way in which you retrofit your homes to be more energy efficient, changing out light bulbs, the kind of vehicles you drive, the way in which you utilize alternative transportation. It's going to take every one of us changing our attitudes and our behaviors to really make a difference. I remain optimistic, but this demands our true focus.
Thank you very much, Senator. As a reminder to those of you who are just joining our conference, I'm Ann Morgan with the National Wildlife Federation in Colorado, and we're here with Senator Mark Udall and wildlife biologist Doug Inkley. If you have a question for either of them, you can press star 3 on your phone, and an operator will take your question. And also, at any time, you can press 1 if you'd like to thank Senator Udall for standing up for Colorado's clean air, water, and wildlife with his budget vote, and to let him know that you appreciate his leadership. Senator Udall, we have a question from Dean in Morrison. He asks, is there any action being taken to stop local utilities from limiting the solar capacity you can place on your home? They only allow 10 kilowatts on his roof in Morrison, and so he's wondering if there's an opportunity to expand that.
And this is an important question. I wanted to also say on the earlier point that we have to understand that the public at this point ranks climate change policies at number 6 or 7 or 8 in terms of priority. And each and every one of us can, in a straightforward, not a overly dramatic or melodramatic way, just point out what's happening in Colorado. Look at our forests, look at the wildfires, look at the drought, look at reservoir levels. Just point these out in a matter-of-fact way and then follow on with some common sense ideas about what we can do. Point out that when we do act, we're going to create jobs. We're going to set an example for the world. And rather than it being a down in the mouth, where you got to put on a hair shirt and read by a candle narrative, talk about how this follows on the innovations that have so characterized America. Without America, we don't have iPads. We don't have access to new knees or artificial hearts. You don't have this marvelous transportation technology like jet airplanes and hybrid vehicles and so on. So the point I'm trying to make is an upbeat call to arms and call to action, I think, is one that will be more readily received than we're about to cook the planet. I feel very strongly on a moral point of view that we have a real obligation here, but some of the public is turned off by that, and if we present an optimistic, here's the opportunity awaiting us if we respond, that's a message I think that sells and people want to embrace. On the 10-kilowatt limit, I have a 3.5-kilowatt system on my house. I love making electricity. It does it quietly. It does it without me having to do anything. And, of course, when my children aren't home using their computers, I'm feeding electrons back onto the grid. The question the gentleman raises is more of a state and utility-based question. I do know that Xcel, in many cases, has acted responsibly. They can be frustrating because they are an incumbent. They do have shareholders. They do have to return some form of a profit to their shareholders. But they are phasing down the rebates and the support that they put in place for renewable energy, for solar systems. The good news, though, on another front is that solar panel costs are coming down. Installers are becoming much more efficient, and overall prices are more reasonable for homeowners. I know the governor is, I'm not up to date right now. I know he's considering signing a bill that would require the co-ops to extend their renewable energy efforts. So by and large, there's a lot of good news when it comes to Colorado and the penetration of solar energy on our homes. I'd be happy through my office to get more details to you.
Thank you, Senator. We now need to wrap up, but we have one question that I think would really like for you to take. That's from Jacob in Castle Pines. He's a high school student there. And perhaps you could answer his question and wrap up as well. And his question is, At the current rate, what does my future look like with all of these climate impacts? What sort of time period are we looking at, since some people say in the near future and others say 100 years away?
I believe that question is right.
Dr. Inkley. Yeah, Dr. Inkley, I'm going to let you you respond, but certainly everything I know suggests that if we don't act in the next few years, somewhere in the order of 3 to 10 years, literally that CO2 has a life cycle of over 100 years, so we'll see the effects continue to take hold more and more in ways that are out of our control. But Doug, you're the scientist, and you've studied this, and I want to tip my hat to you. And by the way, those mountains will always be there, so you can always go back and have another shot at them.
Well, I'm going to try to do that someday, but I think the carbon dioxide levels are going to be higher, so I'm going to have less oxygen to climb those mountains. But to address the question that came up, I think you're right, exactly right, Senator, in that we have to be looking not only at now, but we have to be looking 100 years down the road, because the carbon emissions we're putting out today does have a long lifespan. That's why it's important, as you indicated, to take action within the next 3 to 5 years. But the question pertains then directly to, I'm young, I'm in high school, what's it mean for my future? Well, excuse me for using this phrase, but I would tell you that it is a clear and present danger. You are currently living this in Colorado, but you have an opportunity to do something about this. And that's why National Wildlife Federation is working with people like you and others. And I would encourage you to go ahead and continue your education and join with people like Senator Udall and others, National Wildlife Federation, to tell people we need to address this issue, because I want a brighter future not only for myself but for my children. So thank you.
Thank you, Jacob, for your question. And thank you, Doug Inkley, for participating. In particular, thank you, Senator Mark Udall, for not only participating with us today, but for your continued leadership for Colorado. I appreciate everyone who called in today. We didn't have a chance to get to everyone's questions. I appreciate all of your interest. And you can learn more by going to www.nwf.org/townhall. So thank you very much for participating in this town hall with Senator Mark Udall and Dr. Doug Inkley.